This seminar is entitled The Counseling Interview, Part 1, and is presented by Leela Faber and Ron Solomon. It was recorded at the Retreat for Colorado Legislative Wives.
This is an unrehearsed interview, in case you're wondering. Ron, thank you for coming, and thank you for agreeing to share the things you're going to share in front of all these people. I know it must be a little frightening, but if you would get to know these people like I have the last day or two, I'm sure you'd realize that they're safe. Let's pray together. Father, it's our prayer that as we talk together, you'll give Ron real freedom to share those things that are going on inside of him. We pray also that you'd give wisdom and understanding, that we together may understand him, may come to understand what you're doing in his life, so that some sense may be made out of the confusion or the turmoil that brought him in. Father, we're not trusting in ourselves, but in you, to do exceeding abundantly in these 2 hours, above all that we ask or think, by your Spirit. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Ron, I'd like to ask you first, what brings you in for counseling?
Well, I'm tired. I've gone to the doctor and he says there's nothing wrong as far as something physical, but I'm just tired and I'm frustrated. I feel like in my life I've just got too many irons in the fire, too many, like I'm juggling too many balls, and it's getting more and more difficult to keep them all up in the air, you know what I mean? I've got my job. My father-in-law kind of put me in this position in a recording studio, but I want to make the money that we're accustomed to making and the lifestyle we're accustomed to living, and I want to progress on my own without his help. I'm tired of always looking after my wife and meeting her needs and meeting my children's needs and some of the church work I do and the charity work that I'm involved in, and there's just so many things I've got to keep afloat, and my mind's constantly going. If we go on a trip, if we go on a picnic, somehow my wife expects me to remember everything that goes in the basket. She's prepared the lunch, and yet if we leave the silverware at home, guess whose fault it is? It's mine. She's not organized. She doesn't make a list of everything she needs to take, and so I've got to make a mental list, and I feel like she's expecting me to watch out for her life, and again, the kids' lives, they're on my back, that I'm not spending enough time with them, and just everything is just piling up like that. And it used to be I could keep all these things up, and either I've got more of them that I'm trying to keep up, or maybe my time is not as organized as it should be, or something is happening. And I've wanted to share this with somebody. I didn't feel like I could share it with my wife. I didn't want her to know that this kind of stuff's going on, for fear that she would think I would crack up or something like that. And I sat down a couple nights ago and I evaluated what male friend, some male that I could talk to. And there's nobody. I couldn't think of one person that I felt free to share this. Oh, my wife saw me. I can't even pray about it. I don't feel like I can go to God with something like this. I don't think you'll listen because I've let him down. I can't get into the Word. I've tried to get into the Word. I can't get at the Word consistently. And when I do, it's so dry. It just, people tell me that when they read it, that words pop out. Verses that the Lord's honestly just showing, it feels like he's just showing them. It doesn't happen.
A lot of times the confusion and the frustration we face come because we don't know how God is working. We don't understand what he's doing, and therefore we don't know how to cooperate with him. And so what I hope to do as we talk together is just spend this first hour just getting to know you, just to understand what's happened in your life, what you're going through. And in the second hour, we will try to get into some answers. All right, let's just go through your life a bit. How old are you?
I'm 30.
And your wife?
About 30.
What's her name?
Chris.
Okay. And you have two children? Is that what you said?
Uh-huh.
What's their name?
Steve and Jane.
How old are they?
One's about 8 and one's 10.
Okay. Now, you're evidently working at a recording studio?
Yeah. Yeah, my father-in-law got me the job there, 5 or 6 years ago. And I've had a lot of possibilities coming up for me. I'm mainly in management, and I want to get into something creative. But it seems like every time an opportunity comes up, I've got these feelings like I just have to do it, and then other feelings say, no, you can't. I had a great possibility to cut a demo record, and for some dumb reason I got in a fight with the producer, and that never came off. And there are other times when the work just piles up to such a degree that I feel like I've got to get all of it done and I can't take advantage of this new possibility. And yet, it's kind of funny, in the back of my mind, I'm sort of relieved. I can't progress. I want to go further and I want to do it on my own. And I just, something stops me.
Okay. How long have you been married, Ron?
About 12 years.
Okay. Now, what I'd like to do is just kind of go through your life in a chronological order and just find out some of the things that have happened to you. Where were you born and raised?
In Baltimore, Maryland.
That's where you were born?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And what age were you when you moved from there?
About 7.
Okay. Where did you go next?
Here to Denver.
And why did you move?
My dad was transferred.
Okay.
With his work.
Okay. The first 4 or 5 years of your life, can you remember anything outstanding? Is there anything that just sticks out in your mind?
My dad and I were swimming out in the Chesapeake Bay, or he was, I couldn't swim yet, and he let me go under. Obviously, I think it was an accident, but it scared me to death. I still remember going under the water, just seeing all this water around me, and I couldn't swim, and his hands couldn't have been very far from me, but And I don't know how long I was under. It might have been just 10 seconds, but at that age, I guess it seemed like an eternity. And so I remember that. I remember also at very young ages getting involved in artistic type things. When I was like 3, I remember drawing on the walls, which my mother didn't appreciate. And Mom and Dad would give me a coloring book, and I'd be kind of incensed that they'd give me a coloring book. I wanted to draw my own pictures, and was singing in little choirs at church and stuff since I was 5 and 6, and got into using some puppets when I was 6 years old and really enjoying that. Saw a puppet show at school by some professionals and wanted to do that. And so I just really artistic, and Dad would try to throw the baseball with me, or I wouldn't want to do it, or he'd give me a toy truck and I'd roll it down the hall once, and that's all I'd ever play with it. But I guess he just couldn't understand a kid who's artistic. He was always into sports and real mechanically inclined and all that, and he'd lose his patience with me. And I wanted to please him, but I didn't seem to have any abilities that way. And he didn't understand, just yell at me.
That incident where you almost drowned, or where you thought you were going to drown, how did that affect your relationship with your father, or your attitudes? Did it affect you some way? Does it affect you to this day?
I don't know. The thing that hurts me worse was how he used to yell at me and lose his patience. And every session with him, if I was working some story problems and I didn't have a math mind and he did, and every session would end in tears on my part. He'd just lose his patience and say, "You dummy, you know, it's easy to figure out. I just worked it for you. It's the same way you work this one as you work that one." And I remember that more.
How did you do in school overall? Let's say the grade school years.
Oh, I vacillate between 4 A's and 3 B's and 5 A's and 2 B's and all that.
So you're a good student.
Yeah. I think just because I studied hard, not because I was exceptionally smart like I thought he was. But,
mm-hmm. But somehow you didn't measure up to your dad's expectations in school, or at least in math. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Was he good at math?
Oh, yeah. In fact, his degree was in math. So he was, I guess, exceptional in math, and he was on the basketball team in college, and he just did a lot of things that I didn't do.
Do you think your father suffered from feelings of inferiority as he was growing up?
They said he did. He once told me he took a bad grade in a class just so he wouldn't have to get up and give a speech or something. I don't have any problem with that, but just like I said, progressing, doing something I've never done before, it terrifies me.
Do you think that your father was putting you down to make himself look better as you were studying with him?
Mm-hmm.
You don't know why he's doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you have friends as you were growing up on?
Well, I had one friend named Paul that we used to do things together, and suddenly one day we just quit playing together. We did puppets together, and we just hiked around, rode our bikes together, rode to school, were in some of the same classes, and I wondered, I never heard. I never heard from him, I never heard from his father. Why he quit playing with me. And that was up into 7th and 8th grade that we had a good time together. And then they were still living 6 or 7 blocks up from our house, but I started not seeing him, or I'd see him in the store and he'd avoid me, or his dad would say he's not there, and so it just kind of ended. But that's the only close relationship I can ever remember with anybody else.
It sounds like you don't have any close relationships to this day. You didn't know who to go to.
No.
What happens when you get close to people, or attempting to get close to people? What do you think is keeping you from having close friendships?
I don't know. Even into my dating relationships in high school and in college, I could date a girl for 9 months or more and still not even be able to hold her hand. I used to go down the basement in my bedroom and I just would want to kick myself. Would cry down there, and because I couldn't give her a goodnight kiss, or I couldn't hold her hand. It seemed like that would be simple, just to hold her hand in a movie or when you're walking her home. But something kept me from even doing that. And we'd talk about school, we'd talk about the weather. We'd talk about what I'd like to do in the future and what she would like to do. And it was more than one girl that would happen with. And I thought, well, it'll be different with the next girl. And it wasn't. So eventually they'd cut off the relationship because it just, I can't blame them.
Didn't get anywhere.
No. No, I couldn't. I just couldn't express my feelings for them.
Okay. How far did you go in school?
Through college. BA.
Okay. And did you go to school locally? Denver?
Well, I went a few years in New York and studying music, and then finished up here at University of Colorado. The Denver Center downtown.
Okay. Did you avoid dating in high school, college, because of this sort of thing?
Mm-hmm. Which would make the girls mad too, because I'd only call them when it was convenient for me.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what one girl told me. She analyzed it. It was. Sadie Hawkins stay in high school, they'd girls choose the boys, so I was caught. You know, I had to go. But there are other times, like the senior prom is a big deal and you want to go, and I was senior class president, so I was expected to go. And so I found a girl that I could invite that I'd gone out with a few times. But if it hadn't been for the senior prom, I probably would have gone to a movie or something that night just by myself, or with somebody from the music department or something.
Okay. Why don't you describe your mother for us as you were growing up? What was she like?
She encouraged me, which was the total opposite of what Dad was doing. She wanted me to be in the arts. I think she had been involved in some school plays and choirs and stuff in high school and a little bit in college. And I think she wanted me to pursue a career that way that maybe she'd never had. But she was very encouraging. And I remember Dad was really strict and wouldn't let us go to movies very often. They'd have to be rated G. Even then, he thought sometimes we were going to too many movies, and he'd say, I don't want you going to a movie or that particular movie. And after he'd go out the house for Saturday to work at the church or something, my mom we'd pout and cry, and Mom would say, well, okay, go, but be back before your father gets home, you know, and that kind of stuff. But She was nice. I remember a couple times yelling at her and telling her I hated her and just for disciplining me. I don't think I meant that.
Your dad did most of the discipline.
Yeah, that was usually the threat. When your father gets home, you'll get the belt. It wasn't from her, but so I was kind of afraid of that. I'd still get in trouble, but it was him that usually did the discipline of all of us.
How would you describe the marriage?
Theirs?
Yeah.
Well, the time I lived with them up through college, I don't remember ever once hearing either one of them yell at each other. Now, maybe they had timed their fights for when we were out of the house, some activity, or when they were out or something, but I don't remember ever hearing that. I know that I never really saw them hug each other or kiss each other, but I never saw them fight.
Mm-hmm.
or yell at each other.
Did anyone in your family express affection?
Some of my grandparents, but not real close. We'd go there every other year and visit my grandparents. And especially my grandfather on my mom's side was very, very affectionate. We enjoyed spending. I mean, I would have rather spent the whole time there and not at the other grandparents because he just was very open and very free, and which I envy. But maybe I could talk to him if he were closer about this. I don't know if he'd understand.
Did anyone in your family say, "I love you"? Did you feel loved as you were growing up?
Yeah, at least for my mom, and occasionally my dad would, after he had spanked me, or not very often, but he would say he was sorry, and a couple times I saw him cry, very rarely, but if he really felt like he had offended us, or lost his temper, he would come back and just be heartbroken about it. It'd still happen again, but he'd really be sorry that it happened.
As you think back on your childhood, Ron, do you look at it as a good experience or primarily a bad experience?
I would say probably bad. I enjoyed doing the puppets and getting into the music, and yet even as I got older into junior high and high school, I started dreading getting in front of people, and yet that's exactly what I enjoyed doing. I wasn't comfortable doing what I was doing. It was all work and no pleasure, and yet that's exactly what I wanted to do as a career even then. And I thought, how can you do something as a career that you don't enjoy? And I couldn't understand that. I kept going. It was one way that people knew me, because everybody popular was into football and baseball and the sports, and I was no good at sports. So I thought, well, this is the way I'll make a name for myself. And it helped. I mean, I got to be senior class president and student government and all that, but even that wasn't satisfying with all the hassles and else.
Okay. Now, did you grow up in the church?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I accepted Christ when I was about 9 years old. And my dad led me to the Lord, but I went forward at an evangelistic meeting maybe 6 months later. I think it was right after Easter or something, after my 9th birthday, and just kind of made it public. The guy scared us so much, I thought I was going to burn to death, so I thought I better go out and make it public. I'm positive I made the decision back with my dad, but I was never so scared in my life. So I went up and cried a lot, and the guy just kind of confirmed for me that I had accepted Christ. But I don't seem to have grown much since then. It's been, what, 20 years or over, and it's just everything kind of on a status quo, and nothing changes. Like I say, I can't get into Word. I don't feel like I'm growing. I've got these feelings like I can't do anything right, which totally contradict what's happened. I mean, I have provided for my family. I've got a nice family. We're respected in the community and at church by the people there, and I've got a little bit of leadership position there, and yet either it's not enough or it's not what's most important. I just haven't tapped into the right thing yet.
You know there's more.
There has to be. Our pastor is constantly on our case to get out and share our faith and to get into the Word. And like I said, I just cannot get into the Word. It's too dry, and I can't share my faith because I think I'd be a hypocrite. It's not doing much for me. Why should I expect it would do anything for anybody else?
Why would you want anybody else as miserable as you are?
That's right. That's right. I will not share until I've got something that I think is worth sharing. I'm not putting down Christ. I think I love him in my own way. I want to get into the Word. I something holds me back. And again, I get into it and it's all dry, and I've even gone witnessing with some of the people at church years ago, and I just kind of sit back and watch and thank God that they're doing most of the talking, because I didn't want somebody to pin me down and say, well, what's Christ like? What's he done for you? And I'd have to be honest and say, almost zip. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like a hypocrite being in these leadership positions at church and feeling that way.
Did you see any change in your life at all at age 9?
Not really. I mean, I had a desire to go to church. My parents had to kind of pull one of my sisters to church. But I had a desire to go there. I had a desire to go to church camp, not just for the fun of it, but to memorize the scriptures when I was that age and that kind of thing. So, but basically, I'd been what people would call a good boy. Mm-hmm. That my parents have said that I hardly ever did anything wrong. You know, every once in a while I'd get spanked for pulling a lamp off the table or, you know, that kind of thing, but running away from a babysitter or a few things like that. But generally they said you were such a good boy that we didn't have to discipline you much, and you got your schoolwork done, so we didn't have to remind you to get your term paper done. Studying in seventh grade until 1 and 2 in the morning. Just because I was already thinking of a college scholarship, I thought that's the reason I was studying that long. So.
Okay. Now, you told us a little bit about how your dad interacted with you, but how was his job? How was the rest of his life going?
Well, the only thing I can remember is he's never home, or hardly ever home. I still remember just my sisters and myself standing at the window and looking out and just wondering when he was going to come home. And he wasn't at work, he was at church. Just was teaching a class, he was a deacon, he was just doing all kinds of things at church, just there incessantly. Maybe that's why my sister was so turned off by it. I don't know. Where it was kind of taking the place of her. But we just wanted to spend more time with him. And all three of us, the two girls and myself, have talked with each other. And in just a few past years and wondering what was so wrong with us that he wouldn't want to spend time with us.
How about your sisters? How did they turn out?
Well, they both have big struggles with weight. And I remember my one sister just seems to be fairly intelligent, but she wouldn't even try in school. And I was kind of embarrassed by that because my parents always made such a big deal about my clippings for school plays I'd been in and music groups and getting on the honor roll and all that kind of stuff, and very seldom would praise either one of the other girls that I can remember. And I know that my one sister just must have said, "Why try? I can't get the grades Ron's getting."
So you were a favorite?
Seemed to be. Even with Dad, the way he was, he would come to a few of my activities, and both he and Mom would boast about me, like if we had guests into the living room for a party or something. It'd be all Ron did this and Ron did this, and the girls were just hardly even mentioned. And I felt really guilty about that. I started feeling guilty for the talents I have. It's just a mess.
What age were you, Ron, when you got married?
I don't know. We got married right out of high school.
Before you went to college?
Yeah.
Now, how did that relationship culminate in marriage when you were so...
Yeah, that's a strange story. It wasn't so much my doing. I couldn't even hold her hand. It's a wonder we even had kids. Well, basically, she proposed to me. I couldn't. Again, with her, I had dated her for like 9 months through our last year of high school. And again, couldn't hold her hand. I think she knew I liked her some because of the time we were spending together and the length of the relationship and stuff. And so one day she just said, it's obvious you're not going to ask me. I kind of guessing that you'd like to get married. Could we get married maybe out of high school? And her dad had a lot of money, which was kind of something to convince me. And although now I'm looking back on that and I wonder, I'm not so much convinced that she's not the one I was supposed to marry, but I feel a little guilty too. Did I marry her for the right reasons? And so there's those doubts that creep in sometimes. But I said yes, and we were married, and then I'd gotten a big scholarship I didn't want to turn down, so we moved to New York and some of the student housing and went to school there for a couple of years, and then moved back to Denver and finished up.
How would you describe your relationship with your wife now?
Well, I still can't express my emotions to her, how I really feel, not just about her, but like I said, about things that are going on. We don't fight. I don't remember ever having a fight with her, just like Mom and Dad, but we don't talk a whole lot, and that's kind of on a status quo too. It just doesn't seem to be any change, anything going on. I know there are areas where I should be meeting her needs better, and sexually and every other way. And I just I don't want to hear about it, so if she responds in any way, it's just with sort of a silent, "I don't want to talk about it," treatment.
This concludes side one. Please turn the cassette over for side two.